Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
I can see that some of us are dropping our body weight. Don't worry, all will be well. Amen. Some people, by the time they come in, they will see me on my way out this morning, because the service is going to be very short. Amen. Hallelujah. When we come for meetings like this, we have to be sensitive. I had a very enlightening experience on Wednesday. Last week Wednesday. And it's still a bit confusing for me, but it's enlightening. I was out of town on Monday. I had to catch an early morning flight. I think I was at the airport around 5:30 a.m. on Monday, out of town. And when I got to where I was going to be ministering, they were still sleeping. Everybody was, including the pastor. The pastor called me and I said, "I've landed." I didn't call him. I just found my way from the airport, bam. Lodged myself in a hotel. So when they called me, I said, it was lost. But when I had to travel between cities, and that's why some of you joined on Monday noticed my background was in a different. I didn't have access to internet, so I had to use my hotspot to use my laptop. So everything was in God's hands. Amen. But I had an enlightening experience, and that I'm sharing this because sometimes when you think you've seen it all, then God does something and you become a student again. Start learning. So I was preaching in a church, like a very large church. And after I was done preaching, so I started praying for them. Then I started prophesying. The Lord was speaking to me, but I looked at the people in the congregation. I didn't really see anyone that matched that prophecy. I was just like, I don't see anybody that looks like what I'm hearing. So I called the pastor. I called one of the pastors. I said, "The Lord is talking to me about somebody who has a block industry." The pastor looked at me, he shook his head. I said, "Think again." Then I called the senior pastor. The pastor said, "No." I said, "Think again." I said, "The business has folded up." The person didn't come to church. The person, they saw him that morning, but as at that evening, in that meeting, the person was not in church. He traveled with his wife. I now told the church to stop praying. I said, "This person is not here." I said, "But his angel is here." So it was confusing because me, if you come late, I won't talk to you. That's my policy, because I believe a lot of people want God to serve them. And God says, "Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God." So if the service starts 8 and you come 9:30, when we share the grace, just come to the altar here and be praying directly to God. And we all have access to God. Everybody can pray. So don't bother wasting my time. But this person was not in church. Traveled. There were so many people in that auditorium. But God spoke about somebody that didn't come. And his angel was there. pastor came to me on the altar and said, this brother is very committed in this church. That's why I changed my mind. Because I asked, I said, is he one of those people that come once in a while when you have special program, or is it? He said, no. He said, that family is in this church. The meeting was live streamed and they called the brother while I was on the altar, put it on speaker. The brother was broken. Like, how will God remember me like this? The prophetic word was specific. So I can't wait to hear his testimony. Today your word will not pass you by. Amen. I prophesied in one of the churches that I went to, and the person came to fight the pastor. Like he was angry that I prophesied to him. Then he came back to apologize. Because they discussed during the week before I got there. The pastor did not tell me anything. Then I called him out. I repeated word for word. So he felt, So while I was talking to him, he was standing, but he was angry. Me, I thought he was flowing the spirit. The guy was very angry, like, ah. He was very angry. I didn't see it. I see God. The guy was angry. Like, this is what this pastor did. Why would he do something like this? Until I started prophesying, I continued, and I started talking about the part he didn't tell the pastor. Then he broke down and said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That man grew. You know, when somebody is at 4,000 naira level, and then he started paying tithe of 1 million. You know, you are here. But that prophetic word, the day he paid the tithe, everybody in the church knew, because the church has not seen that kind of money at once before. As we wait on the Lord on this mountain, the word of the Lord will come to you. That amen is weak. I'm here standing before you, but I also want God to speak to me about me. One of the ways to trigger the voice of God is through praises. And that's why before I open the scriptures, we are going to sing one song. How do you operate in this kind of level where you can be in the midst of noise and God is talking to you? There's a particular state your heart must be in. And I keep talking about these things. I say you can be in the midst of, you can be watching TV, you can be, but your heart is in a default mode. There's a particular mode. It's easy for God to just wink and you know what he said. One of the churches I went to preach, I'm afraid of God though. Sincerely, you know, there are some things he does, you become a learner. One of the churches I went to preach, I was prophesying. I just went to the pastor. I said, somebody wants to give you a car. I said, but he doesn't know what to do. He's struggling with it. Not because he has it, but you know, it's not easy in this economy for somebody that doesn't have his own car to buy a car and give you. Do you understand that flavor? He doesn't have his own personal car. He has cars he drives around, but like, I need a car, my own car. So there's an opportunity. He's thinking, I should get a car for myself and pay little by little, pay the owner in bits. And then God is saying, this car is for your pastor. But the pastor has a car already. Though the car is not as good as this new one. But so I was prophesying the church, and I said to the pastor, I said, there's someone that wants to give you a car. I said, he's struggling with it. And I said, but you have a car. The pastor shouted, amen. The amen was so loud. I think that amen sealed the testimony. The next morning, I was in my hotel room, and the person who that prophet was drove the car to the hotel and told me to enter the car. That the prophecy you gave yesterday, he requested to see me. He said I was the person. He said I was struggling. He said I didn't want to give it. He said, but I knew God told me. He said, and when you gave that word and you said the person is struggling, he said I gave up. So this is the car. Please, we are going to check out the hotel and you go with this car. So I was the first person to get into the car. The prophecy happened in less than 24. No, the prophecy was last night. As at this morning, the car was in my hotel room. And I'm just going like, okay, God, so there is something that is going to stand miracles. And I'm saying this because of somebody here. I'm not talking about what you want to work for. I'm talking about God just wants to do something for you. I looked around you. I couldn't find your contenders. I couldn't find your contenders. Those who are speaking against your destiny. Those who are saying negative things. You take one step forward, you take three backwards. I said I started searching for them. They were nowhere to be found. The Lord deceived Pharaoh. The Lord deceived Pharaoh and led him to the Red Sea. And Pharaoh thought he was pursuing. Pharaoh did not know he was going to his burial ground. Today, we silence the voice of Pharaoh. The Pharaoh spirit is very stubborn. He doesn't release people. He doesn't allow people go. That kind of spirit, if you will not serve it, it will send you to prison like Joseph. That kind of spirit. If you will not, you will not go. You go to prison. It pursued the children of Israel. It pursued them until he was buried. Some of you, after this 21 days of fasting, you will have peace. Amen. The voice of battles, the sound of warfare is over. Amen. Be thou exalted, God. Hallelujah, my soul, we praise your name forever.
Be thou exalted, Lord. Hallelujah, my soul, we praise your name forever.
Be thou exalted, O God. Hallelujah, my soul, we praise your name forever.
Can you praise him into your miracles?
Be thou exalted, O God. Hallelujah. My soul, we praise your name.
Oh, no, we now wait for the Lord. Hallelujah.
hands together and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. The scripture tells us or teaches us that while there was darkness in Egypt, there was light in Goshen.
Yes.
Today we came to speak to unexplainable situations, to the voice of strangers. Today is the beginning of your lasting freedom. Yeah. On Tuesday, there was a lady by a prophetic word who was scheduled for surgery. She had done a surgery before then for fibroid, and the fibroid, you know, grew back. And by prophetic word, she was one of the ushers in the church. And as at the time I was leaving, the pastor just told me, he said, they canceled the surgery. This God, when he looks at you, when he just looks at you, that's favor. No matter how bad that situation is, no matter what the doctors have told you, no matter the evil report, today, Jesus is bringing good news. Please take your seats for a few minutes and stay. You can sit down, but don't sit on your voice, because I may need your voice to shout hallelujah and to do some things. Amen. So
okay, stay with me, stay on that song, but give me Revelation chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 9. I want to show you the true nature of Jesus Christ our Lord. Revelation chapter 1. You know, the last 3 days, the Lord has been surely laying it upon my heart on the need for us to learn the art of true worship, especially with the intention to give Him the glory. And the Lord is saying, the reason why many of us cannot respond to Him is because we don't know who He is. And because we don't really have an idea on who He is or what He looks like, sometimes it hinders our ability to respond. But I want to show you something in Revelation chapter 1. If you have it, you can put it up. This was Apostle John speaking here, and he said, "Hi, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the first and I am the last. What you see, write in a book." Now, hold on there. John was exiled, but he had writing materials with him. So that means if there was his Bible in those days, probably he would have taken his Bible along. You must prepare yourself for encounters. There's this thing about people just coming, just cross their leg. You are not in that space. You can't receive. You are not ready. This is John. So what if he didn't have his writing materials? What if? Did John know this will happen? But he prepared. There's a dangerous trend, though, that we need to look at very carefully. There's a way when you are in class, there's a way you prepare, you will learn something. Even if what was read was John 3:16, you will learn, you will hear something, because your body language, your posture, you are ready. Even that scripture, he says, "Send it to the 7 churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna." These are cities where there were churches. So if this was to happen in Africa or in Nigeria, God will say to the church that is in Lagos. Huh? So God will summarize all their problems in that message. "To Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamos and to Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea." This Philadelphia, I think they seem to be the only one with a little sense. Their score was not so bad. Every other person failed. But you know what Philadelphia means? Brotherly love. That's amazing. The ones with love did well. Hallelujah. We'll come there. Not today. Next verse. He said, "And I turned." The scripture says, "For you shall hear a voice behind you, guiding you. Say, walk like this. Go to the left. Or go to the right." He would tell you, no, don't do this one. Go there. See, they say, sometimes we are used to the voice within, but we are not used to the voice behind us. That voice behind us is a voice of encounter. He said, "I turned to see the voice that spoke with me." And being turned, this is the way I read the scripture. I put myself in the environment. I try to put myself in the environment that is being depicted in that scripture. Like, okay, what was happening? So John was probably facing this direction, and he heard a voice behind him, but he said it was a great voice. Huh? He said, and when he heard it, the voice already said something. He said, I am the Alpha. That description is the description for the Almighty God. So John turned to see. And when he turned, what happened? He said, I saw seven golden candlesticks. This seven golden candlesticks speaks of the church, the seven churches that, you know, was being spoken about. And I want you to look at the character of those churches, which was gold. Because what God expects is something that endures, something that lasts. Gold is the measurement in heaven. Scripture says that there are many treasures in the house. Some are of wood, iron, silver, gold. He said, so those that are below the gold level are dishonorable. But if you want to be, he said, if any man does what? If you purge yourself, if you furnish yourself, if you prepare yourself, say you shall be a vessel unto honor. So gold is the measurement for God. You are not the first person to like gold. God likes gold. Gold is not from the marine kingdom. He said, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks was one like the Son of Man. He was clothed with a garment down to where? See how Jesus dresses. Are you here? From his neck down to his feet. He is your mighty God. He can afford not to put on anything if he so chooses. I think that we are missing a lot of things. Give me that scripture. He said he was clothed with a garment down to his foot, which means if you had seen him, the Lord doesn't dress in a way to distract. But I want you to just imagine what God's standard for moderation is. Just imagine. Put up that scripture. I will come back to this one some other day. Because some people are going to take this out of context, and that is what they do. He had a flowing gown to the foot, and it was guard about the paps with a golden guard. So our Lord wore a belt that was made of gold. Again, gold. Standard. Paul was teaching us about the weapons of our warfare, and he talked about being the believer being guarded with the belt of truth, which means that golden girdle was truth. You can't stand before him and lie. Before he comes to you, you would have seen something. If you lie, if you live in self-deception, you may shout, you may pray, he will not come. And these things are very significant. I want you to see the things that make meaning to the Lord. These things make meaning to him. Truth. Not just in your heart, but to the people around you. Truth. Being. You know that sometimes your freedom starts from you admitting that you are struggling. Huh? You admit that you are struggling. That's a good place to start. It's a good place to start. It's okay to admit that you are a flirt. You are not fornicating, but you're a professional flirt. Okay. Because that's where the deliverance stands from. You may not know. You think that because you are not sinning directly, that is just this month of revival. Let's just allow God to cleanse us. You know, there are people who are married to their spouse because that's who came, not because that's who they wanted. A lot of people are like that. Okay. So today you will ask God to purge you because you don't even want the man. But you have two children from it. Give me that scripture, please. Next verse. This is where I'm going. Does this look like the guy you see in your calendar? Now, I want you to pay attention. John said his head and his hair white, like wool. His hair was like wool. I want you to picture this in your mind. When it comes to you, somebody has very long hair and that hair is white. White in its purest form. So just imagine white in its purest form. Let's assume Snow White, but Snow White may still fail the test, but let's assume, just to give an idea. I want you to see your Lord here. This is how John saw him. Says hair was white. That white is holiness. That white is wisdom. That white speaks of being the Ancient of Days. There's a reason why it's white. He's not black again. When they killed him, it was not white. But when when he resurrected, he became. Scripture says his eyes were flames of fire, which means when you look at him, you don't see eyeballs. His eyes can purify you. When he looks at you, when he stares at you, no darkness can hide from him. It will consume it. The brother who saw this vision was the closest to Jesus when Jesus was on earth. But this time around, he fell down as a dead man because he didn't know Jesus like this. Jesus had to reintroduce himself to John. May God introduce himself to you. Jesus had to introduce himself. And Jesus didn't go, "Ah, you've forgotten me now." It's me now, Jesus. He introduced himself in his office. In his office. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, "Henceforth, we do not know him after the flesh." It was after that verse that you now read in verse 17, "Therefore, if any man is a new creature, all things." So, for you to understand verse 17, you have to go. Say, "Wherefore and henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, now henceforth know we him no more." So, now if you want to know Christ, Christ has to introduce himself to you. This introduction is what many Christians don't have, which is why it is difficult to embrace God fully or live a holy life or, you know, embrace righteousness, live in a particular way. Why we think the commandments of God are difficult. That's what we think, a lot of us, a lot of people out there. Let's go back to that scripture. The Bible says his eyes were like flames of fire. So now when you imagine somebody who looks white or who is white from head to toe
and this guy was talking and he was behind you, and you turned thinking to see a man, but you met God. John would never have thought that that was how Jesus would look like. He would never have imagined it. He would have probably thought there would be some form of resemblance, some way to say, ah, ah, Lord, it's you. He is no more Jesus. He is the Word incarnate. So this is the true form of the Word of God. But the one you met on earth, they had to put flesh to temper that glory, to temper it so that, but at some point he will break it out like he did at the Mount of Transfiguration, because that's his real nature. He dwells in light. He doesn't like ignorance. He doesn't like all those things that we celebrate. He can't stay there. It's not that he hates you. He can't stay there. So if you meet the requirement, you will be shocked at how the Lord will be so close to you like a brother. Like, he will be so close, but it's not because you are doing anything special. It's just that you've observed him, and you know there are things that he likes around. Like truth. Like righteousness. Like wisdom. Like holiness. If you live a holy life, it will be extremely hard for any curse to have power over you. Extremely hard. That curse must be from somewhere after God. It's good to fast and to pray. The key is holiness. The key, the real key that makes those other things powerful. Bam. Holiness. Put out that scripture. Next verse. And his feet, oh my God, were like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a fire. Now we see someone with long white hair, who is white, flaming eyes, and his feet, it's as if he's walking on fire. His feet made of fire. Burning feet. Huh? You see, because that, the essence of that burning is that anywhere it touches must be purified. Anywhere his feet touches becomes holy ground. Do you know that in the case of Joshua, when the Lord told them to go and take Jericho, if you read the story, we are not going there today, but if you read that story, they moved their military to site, but they didn't know what to do. Then Joshua separated himself and ran into an angel who he thought, he didn't know initially was an angel. The angel had to introduce himself. May the Lord introduce himself to you. Now there are some theological conversations around who the angel really is. I believe it's a real angel. Some believe it's the Lord, because of the way he referred to himself. So I'm the captain of the Lord's hand. So that designation is a very strong one. Huh? It's not an, even if it's not Jesus, it's a very high angel. He has a rank. Eh? And he took ownership of that rank. So it's not one of those angels learning walk. There's anything like that anyway. But you know, it was after the angel, when Joshua saw him, Joshua first challenged him. Say, are you for us? You know, here we have our own problems. Sister, I really don't know what you are doing in my life, but are you for me? This one that just surfaced from nowhere. What's your name again? Say Eunice. Eunice. Oh, again. You just surface. Bam. Every time you're about to meet, get into a breakthrough dimension, one Dorothy just shows up. All these nice, nice names. You know? Just show up. And then you notice your prayer time is used to, you use it to meditate about one Dorothy somewhere. One of the ways you will know it's lost is that it will creep into your prayer time. Go and check it. One of the ways you will know is that that thing, whatever it is, will not allow you to pray, but you'll be awake. You'll be thinking about it. So that's the first sign that you need to cry out for help. Don't try to fix the problem. Just confess so that brethren can come around you. I ask, who is Dorothy? Who is Dorothy? Where's her number? Give me. Uh-huh. So what do you have to get? I say, no, we just met. You just met. And you are thinking about that. You just met. Is that how people just meet? Is there anything that is coincidental in this world? If the spirit realm is that organized, is there really anything that is coincidental? It was after our brother saw that angel and challenged him. Then the angel said, I am not on your side. Neither am I on anybody's side. That is significant, Loretta. Because what that means is that even though the Lord gave a prophetic word to go towards Jericho, you will be tested to see if you are even worthy of what you are asking for. It was God that told them to go to Jericho. They heard it in a, maybe they were in a meeting like this, and God just told my people, it's time to take Jericho. It's your next season. And they danced and rejoiced. And they moved to sight. Only for the angel to help them in that transaction. To come and say, no, before I help you, I want to check. Have you ever seen angels like that? That they also don't want to waste their time. Because if they open the door for you, and you are not worthy of that which the Lord has said, you now open a channel for Satan to occupy. The way Satan took over Adam, so you will take Jericho but create something worse. So let's check him. Is this one for us? The angel received. Do you know the angel didn't just show up? It was God that sent the angel. But the angel still wanted to check. Let me see if their leader is even has any sense or has any brain left inside his head. Say, I'm not for. But he made a statement which I believe must have triggered something in Joshua's mind. The father in the Lord of Joshua was Moses, right? And when God visited Moses, the Lord used a phrase, used a term, used a language. Say, take off your shoes. For the ground where you are standing now. You know, I told you, I said this scripture. Eh? In Revelation chapter 1. He said his feet were like burning fire. And I said anywhere he touched became holy. Became purified. Eh? Now, this angel is saying something similar. It's not only because of Joshua. It's only because that angel is standing there. The ground where Moses stood by the burning bush was not holy. It was only because God was there. But do you also know? I don't have time to go into this today. But do you also know that burning bush, God did not come there. It was an angel. We don't have time to go into that today. Huh? That burning bush is in the scriptures. So that angel is that type of angel we refer to as the angel of the Lord. Huh? Like in Revelations, when Jesus said, I, Jesus, have sent my angel. My angel. So, he has his own bodyguard, his own angel. The angels that work in his department. When he sends them, those angels can use first person to talk to you. And you would think it is Jesus. They are just saying what Jesus is saying, but they have the power to speak in first person. So, when Moses saw the burning bush in the book of was it Exodus or so, you know, it was God. The book said God, but later they said it was his angel. So there are some angels, their strength is in holiness. Any environment they come into becomes holy. Their presence cleanses the environment. Do you understand the heavenly structure that they maintain in heaven? That when you see the Lord is seated on his throne, you see kings, about 24 of them, elders, who have crowns. These are his council, his heavenly council members.
They have they are not just there for fun. They are not there to be to drink tea. These guys are referred to as elders, which means even Michael is not as high as these elders. So imagine the power that these elders have. They also wear crowns, the way God wears a crown. Please look at this thing very critically. Before you start messing around God, you need to realize that He sits in the circle of kings. That if Jesus beckons to you, it is the whole heaven that has beckoned to you. And if Jesus says from today, you will not be the same again, it is because that matter has been sealed in heaven. That matter has been settled. I said that matter has been settled. And that is why God gives us His word. This Bible is word. Because He said, forever my word is settled in heaven. And anytime God speaks to your heart from these words, maybe you are studying or you are praying, and God just speaks to your heart, that word is settled. It doesn't matter what anybody says. Just like that pastor who came to church that day and he didn't know he was going to get a car the next morning. He didn't know. You must desire that the word of the Lord will not be far from. I remember many years ago, I was coming from church as a younger person. You know, I just had my job. You know, in those days in our churches, in Redeem, for those of you who have attended Redeem, they give us all these small jotters, Sunday school jotters and all these things. So you can write during the service, Sunday school, or during the message. So we write, you know, we have those things. We have, in fact, if your parents were Sunday school teachers, you have so many of those things lying around the house. You know, and then they also sell them. But I was coming from church on a particular night. I think I must have just finished my WAEC or something. And I was trekking from towards Federal Girls that night. Federal Girls, somewhere in Akure. That's outskirts of Akure. And I was coming from somewhere they call Okejebu. There was no phone. Nobody was there. When you get home, they see you. But I was coming from church. And I was stopped by policemen. Say, where are you coming from? I said, church. Where are you going? I say, home. Say, where's your Bible? I said, I don't have Bible. I have jotter. So how can you say you have jotter, you don't have Bible? And I looked at him. I say, in your family, there's somebody that is sick like this, like this. The guy knelt down. He knelt down. I said, you are holding a gun. You are kneeling down. He said, please pray for me. I said, no. I said, you asked me that. You just telling that I don't have Bible. He said, no. I said, that person will die if I don't pray. The guy was the one with the gun. But he was the one who knelt down. The word of the Lord will be in your mouth. Amen. He didn't mind that I was a young boy. But now, power past power. He didn't mind. It's not the gun is not the what was the gun. He knelt down in front of his colleagues. He was not, they were like, you know the way they stand on that, those express. He knelt down in the middle of the night. Me, I said, let Shebule come and meet me for somewhere. What God's word will do to you when you find it, eh? You are elevated above I up in the spirit realm. I, because that's the strongest commodity, side by side with the blood of Jesus in the heavenly realm. Let's just quickly wrap up that Revelations 1. His feet like unto the fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice was as the sound. Now this is where a lot of us are having issues. Now this is chapter 1. But this book went on to end chapter 22. 22 chapters. You know where many of us struggle is that when you are trying to get used to God's voice for the first time, what you'll be hearing is sound of many waters. See, John heard his voice. He said all those things he heard before this
15 verse was like what? Like waters, like, I don't even know how to describe this. Is there a better, is it like, it's not a tidal wave, like it's like flowing water. Huh? The waterfall, yeah. So, the clarity of this, for those of us who are learners, what we'll be hearing is, but that's God speaking, though. That was what happened to when he came and said, Pastor, when I prayed, I felt God was saying to me, but it wasn't really clear. When you are saying, say, Pastor, I'm not sure, but I sense, I feel, Pastor, I think I should pray. This is your level. Are we together? So don't be afraid. You have made progress. At least some people are not hearing anything. And if you are asked to prophesy, come and also prophesy according to your level. When you get to the, when they give the mic, then the pastor will look at his mic and say, then give them the mic. Sir, please help me interpret. Don't bring any mic to me. Since they are looking at you and see, what is this? Once you finish, do what you want to do, then give them mic. Say, sir, the Holy Spirit said you help us interpret. Then the Holy Spirit did not tell me anything. I said, please, I've given you the mic. You are the pastor. But as you begin to stay in his presence and get used to that environment, you'll begin to hear. Please, what's in verse 16? No. Now, go back to where he said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I want to use that as an example. Verse 11. So initially, when God started speaking to you, you are hearing rumblings. But as you stayed in his presence, you started hearing, I am Alpha and Omega. You're right, Alpha and Omega. I am Alpha. Ah, it's getting clear. I am Alpha. Your ears must get used to that environment, so you also become fluid. You become fluid like water. If you are in a hurry, you will not get there. Yeah. Those things that you are saying, I think God is saying. You have to stay there. Don't go to the pastor. Stay there. That's the problem. You heard something. You are not. Was the pastor there with you when you were drinking your pepper water? Yeah. You stay there. Stay there. Let the Spirit of God even take you a step further. Depending on where your level, you may spend hours here, or days, or weeks, or months. But stay, keep signing in, register, signing every day. One day, I am Alpha. Ah, very clear. I am Alpha and Omega. The first and the last. But sometimes for months, but he was saying something. And if you read throughout the book of Revelation, you will see this sound of many waters coming up. Only those who stay long enough will know, because that voice is not for weaklings. It's not for people who just want to transact with God and run away again and come when they have problems. No, you won't stay here. You will be hearing something. You even be angry that everybody is getting blessed. You are hearing something. You are not hearing anything. Ah, this kind of church is this? Those people you are looking at, go and ask them how long they've been at it. There was a pastor that victimized me so much some years ago. He victimized me so much. It was so bad. And I told myself, I won't leave the church. He victimized me so much. It was so bad. Suspended me. Brought me back. It was so bad. Hey! The problem I did not see in the market, I saw it in the church. And some of you know what I'm talking about here. Ah, I saw Pepe. And God did not allow me to leave that church. When they said I should come back, I went back, I continued serving. Like nothing happened. But I knew that in that church there was first class citizen, there was second class. My own was not even third. Because if I tell you anything, they will say, let's confirm with pastor first. You know when people are telling, let's go and consider, like, as if maybe there's level. And me, I know it's not because of my position in church. It's because I've been
sent away and brought back. So we are not sure whether the pastor is favorable towards you. We have to confirm.
After 2 years, the pastor has some problems. So I traveled to that city. And I sat with him in his... He had a business. So I sat with him. I heard he was there, that he started a business. So I went to his office. Ah, Brother Gbenga. I sat down with him. I noticed things weren't looking so good. So I sat down with him. I'm just talking. I just started prophesying to him. Like 20 minutes. Non-stop. People are walking past. I just started prophesying to him. When I stopped, he looked up. By the time he brought the head down, I'm sorry for the way I treated you. I said, no, that one is in the history. He said, I would never have thought you would be the one to bring me a word in my trying moment. See, I would never have thought you will be the one, like out of everybody I know, that you will look past the disgrace and everything and bring me a word that God said I will not die here. That man today is a great man of God in this land. He left that business and went back to the ministry. Because he actually left the ministry. So, if you want this kind of clarity, you will need a bit of pain.
Okay. That's the aspect I don't know if you people will like, but you will go through some challenges in life. Eh? That will just... It will open you. Your mind will just open like that. When God is telling you, my son, you will be hearing it clearly.
The way she's laughing is like she knows what... Some of you know what I'm talking about. Eh? Please, if you can identify what I'm saying, please. So it doesn't look like I'm lying. Wave to me small. Just wave small. I can see a few hands. Eh? So you... I'm not saying you should be praying for problems. So. I'm just telling you that the day that training will start, there will be no notice. You will go through so many things. If you see something that will not work, you already know. Because you've been through so much. Your ears are now open. They are sharp. Not like... No, there's nothing here. There's nothing here. You will know. There's nothing here. So, the brother who shared this vision with us also was going through a trial. Did you notice? Brother John. They threw him inside. History is saying to hot oil. And he did not die. But I hope you know his skin did not remain the same. Do you know the reason why they threw him into that island? Was because they didn't consider him fit to stay with men. Because of the way his body now looked. Well, his skin was damaged. You are white, then they not damage the skin. So you can imagine, you know, have you seen somebody whose hands are burnt? You know the way it looks like? You've seen some of them in Nigeria. Now imagine a white man like that. With white skin, but burnt. So it was sent there that under the scorching heat, he should die. Because there's no house in that, on that island. It's just you and your maker, nature. Direct sun. He was sent there to suffer and die. And when Jesus showed up, Jesus didn't say, I'm sorry about what happened to you. I was not around, but... And the angels too, they were not around. But I'm so sorry. Jesus did not talk about it. Jesus simply said, I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. Do you know what Alpha is? Alpha is the first letter. In the Hebrew... Greek language. Alphabet. And... Omega is the last. They also have beta. So just for saying the origin of your life, the beginning of your life, and the ending is within my control. That no matter what you go through, if I tell you, you will not die. Nothing will happen to you. Just because I wasn't there when you felt I wasn't there when you went through that challenge does not really mean that I abandoned. I didn't. Therefore, that which you see
begin to write. And prophecy began.
John didn't say, Master, I followed. He didn't. See, people just want to talk. Don't want to talk. I serve you. I serve you. I serve you. And the only one left. That's what Elijah said, and God released 7,000 prophets. Just because you're in the wilderness doesn't mean you are the only one now. Saying, I know the level. You don't know any. Just keep quiet. This talking too much leads to exaggeration. Look at John's attitude. Just started writing. That one that happened when they tried to kill me, that one has passed. We are here now. Move on. Don't tell everybody your sad story. Okay, you are telling her now. At the end of the day, she'll tell it as well. How has that solved your problem? She's not going to give you a prophetic word or prophetic counsel from Manora, you know, our study last Sunday. She will just say, hey, I remember my sister too. She also had, you start exchanging problems. May God lead you to who can help you. Not all these people that when you tell them something, they will not tell you something worse. Then they will not tell you, thank God for your own. No. After they finish talking to you, now they realize, oh man, I don't even get problem with this person wait there beside me. Be like I said, problem past my own. You will now go home and say, Holy Spirit, thank you, Father, thank you. Because you thought you had it for you, now met somebody else.
Verse 16 and 17.
I had a message, but it's like this message has been interrupted. I want you to see Jesus glorified so that I can get your miracle. Come on, say amen. He had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. This is Jesus. Does this look like the guy they crucified? When he opens his mouth, what comes out is a sharp sword.
I remember when I was being prayed for to receive baptism of the Holy Spirit. This was in 1993.
I didn't desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit until I saw one of our seniors who got baptized the week before. She's a very fervent sister. But I didn't know she was so powerful. I didn't know she was not baptized in the Holy Spirit. So in the prayer meeting, Brother Onfrey, Brother Abidemi prayed for her. And I saw the way her face began to glow. And she started speaking in tongues. So I now went to research. I now read 1 Corinthians 12. And I saw that there's such a thing as the ability to speak in tongues. And I went to Brother Lawrence. I said, I want this thing. They now told me, okay, next Thursday. Thursday is a very lovely day. I love Thursdays. I gave my life to Christ on the Thursday. I got baptized on the Thursday. It's amazing. I don't know what you people are doing on Sunday, but me, I love Thursday. So, like, Thursday, some people like Thursday because of Wednesday. Because Wednesday is Wednesday. Wednesday. So, they marry on Thursday. Wednesday. They say, me, I like it for spiritual reasons. Like, do you know that when they prayed for me, when they laid hands on me and prayed for me, I had a vision. Then I didn't even know how to interpret all this thing, but I had a vision. And I saw, because I couldn't speak in tongues. They were praying, but I couldn't speak. I just saw a dagger. And the thing came underneath my tongue and caught it. And then the vision cleared. And then they said, okay, he has it now. I said, in my mind, I never speak in tongues. So they just said, no, he has it. The moment that thing, bam, they saw the prayer. Say, go. See, before, when you get home, before you break your fast, go and pray. And I've told you that story. Uh-huh. So you know what happened. Somebody moved my cheese. I had one, that rice and beans with veggies and eggs, and that my mom forced me to eat that morning that I refused. I eat it somewhere, and when I got home that evening, I didn't find my food. So that was the first quarrel for that day. Anyway, I found the meal. Unfortunately, I was tired, so I decided to eat. But the miracle was already done. So I can relate with this scripture where he says,
out of his mouth came two-edged sword, very sharp.
If you also read the book of Revelation, towards the later part of the scripture was, John was talking about a battle that will happen, that Jesus will lead his army. Huh? The final battle. He will lead his army to fight that battle. And in his mouth was a two-edged sword. So what are these, what is John talking about when he talks about the two-edged sword? Put up that scripture again. In Hebrews chapter 4, the scripture tells us that for the word of God is living and what? And sharp. It's sharper than what? That's the description. So, it's not just a blade. It's a sword. That means from any point, it's dangerous. If he swings it this way, you are gone. If he swings it this way, you are also gone. And now, put up that scripture. Just give me Revelation. Just stay where you are. So, this gives me a perspective. It gives me a perspective that when God speaks, when God says, it is done, in the spiritual realm, what he released in your direction was a sword. Please, for whatever is worth, you have to start seeing God as an... God is not an American. God doesn't live in Los Angeles. You have to... See, the white man has tried to paint God to us. And every attempt they made, they kept creating problems. Because they didn't read Revelations. They didn't read this book. He said, put up that scripture. He said, out of his mouth. Out of his mouth. Those are words. When he speaks, this is what comes out. That's why that thing cannot return void. Because the sword does not go except it has a mission. He said, and his countenance, oh my God, was as the sun in what? In his strength. This was what John saw. This is Jesus, our Lord. Next verse. He said, when I saw him, he said, I fell. You can imagine our Lord just speaking to John and say, I am the Alpha and the... He can't stand that. You are standing. Do you understand the proximity? Being close to the sun? This guy was damn lucky that he didn't even fry up. Anyway, he was already fried. So he didn't know. This guy was very lucky. He passed out. You see, it's good to take 7 cups of water every day. You don't know you're talking. If you come close to this man, you are dead. Can you see that even Satan today exists because of God's mercy? Satan exists today. If the Lord decides today is the last day, he will not say what. He will simply stand in front of Satan and he will evaporate. That's your God. That's the one you are doubting. The one who says, I will never leave you. Nor do you imagine living in the same house with this kind of person? Yet you pray every morning, Lord, welcome Holy Spirit, we welcome Holy Spirit. Look, this guy said I will never leave you. He's in your illicit, your house is his address, Loretta. Can you picture this thing for just a few minutes that you live in the same house with this kind of person? And when you want to say, Pastor, me, I can't see if I don't on the light too. I must on light. Now they have increased your tariff again. How are you going to do it? I heard in my location. I called my wife. What's going on? What's going on in Lagos? Ah! Off all the light. Turn it off. Turn it off. Ah! Eh? Off the mic. Off everything. Eh? That 3 naira difference, you will see it. When you recharge next time, you will see the impact. I asked them where I went. I said, which band are you people? They said, what was band? I said, well, what was band? They said, have you received the Holy Ghost? They said, we don't know if there's Holy Ghost. You don't know if there's Holy Ghost. Are you people going to church here? I said, they took the light while we were online on that Monday. I was so, you know, I'm not used to it. Like, how can I pay this kind of money? You can say we put on a gem by 6. Next time when I come, I'm going towards the government house. I can't stay here again. Ah, Kilode. I was just praying, God. This light, this Satan. He now waited for me to start this prayer meeting. That took the light. You see, I saw your pastor. If somebody was joining for the first, so your pastor is this how people pray your church? You turn off all the lights. Then you have to explain. It's not like that, actually. Something happened. This brother fell down as dead. Well, that probably means he died. But said, and Jesus laid his hands on him. Do you know anyone in scripture when Jesus was on earth that needed help, that Jesus touched and nothing happened? In fact, there was a time a woman who lost her child, they were going to bury the child. Jesus did not even touch the child. He touched the coffin. The person rose. The coffin, and the child. Jesus did not even say anything. Like, he just touched the coffin. Like, he touched the coffin. The coffin gave way. Life came out. John said, he laid his hands, his right hand on me. The book of Isaiah tells us that the right hand of the Lord is the right hand of victory. The right hand of victory. That's the right hand of the Lord. So he placed his right hand upon him and he said unto me, fear not. Actually, when you see such things, you will be afraid. You can't come and boast and say, I was in the spirit on love there, and I saw three angels with one of them has 17 eyes, and the pastor just said, no, just round up. We want to pray. Because I don't know what you want us to do with this thing you are telling us now. 17 eyes. Even though the pastor has seen it in the Bible, but he doesn't want to hear it. But those are the people that will welcome you to heaven when you get there. Oh, brother, you're welcome. You're welcome. See? Sorry, is this heaven or where am I? Say this heaven. Ah, where are those small, small angels that used to fly like babies? He said, we don't have them here. Say, sorry, who are you? Say, I'm an angel. I'm in the military division. I'm a colonel. Ah. Sorry. How many eyes do you have? The angel will smile. Say, you'll get used to it. Yeah, as you go, you will see other things. Just hold yourself very well, because you may jump from here and land in air. So just hold yourself, because... So I don't know those who try to make heaven look like a place just filled with grasses. You watch all these American movies, somebody dies, you like Spartacus, you just be seeing him walking in the midst of grasses. You didn't die well. If you really died, either you see fire or you see the Golden Gate. Who are you? Every time these Americans try to paint something, they just mess it up. What's happening with grasses? You take somebody's farm, you just see the person walking. Only, see. Just open the book and read. American heaven. See, I fell down and he said to me, say, fear not, for I am the first and I am the last. I am he that liveth. See the way Jesus introduces himself. How do you think you should worship him? Look at the way he even talks about himself. Meanwhile, somebody was insulting Pastor Adeboye many years ago that the way Pastor Adeboye praises God. I am the Esha. You don't know Jack. He just went to school. But you don't know anything. Look at the way our Lord talks about himself. This is not any angel praising him. He said, I am he that liveth. I was preaching in a church and I told them to read this thing in Yoruba language. The whole church caught fire. If you read this thing in Yoruba language, oh my God, I was preaching. So I said, they downloaded, they displayed it. And there was an elderly woman in that church. I said, Mama, Shelly Kakini. Say, yeah, I gave her the mic. When she read it, the whole church stood up. They started worshiping. Like, this English, now, me, I've even determined I want to go and learn Chinese language. I think the Chinese language will help me better than this one. He said, I am he that liveth. Wait, please, put that scripture back up. Put that scripture back up. Okay, King James. Tina.
Now, the word liveth. Look at that. The word liveth. What it means there is that when you describe life, I am the standard. It's like somebody saying, I have a PhD. I am professor. He's not saying you are alive. He's saying, if you want to describe life, I am the only one in the recent who is alive. Who is living? That's what he's saying. You think you are alive until you meet me. You now realize that sickness, curses, weakness, all those things do not, when they describe something that is alive, they are, those things are, do not measure up. And so what he is saying here is that I am he that liveth. He's not just talking about the ability to live, but the ability to give life. He said, I was dead. Look at that word, it's past tense. I was. He was speaking about his humanity. This was my experience when I was with you. He said, and behold, I am alive forevermore. The person that appeared to Jesus had flesh, glorified flesh. This person saying that I cannot die again is because what the person just saw had flesh, but it was glorified. What he was saying is that death has no power over me. If death sees me, it dies. Hallelujah. You will live here as a living being. No? Some of you have never experienced what it feels like to be alive. Huh? You will now see the wonders of God. He said, I am alive forevermore. What did Jesus say? Amen. For all of you who have religious theology on why you cannot say amen, look at it. John is not talking here. I want you to see the language of heaven. Because for everything Jesus, now death has no power over Jesus. But when Jesus made that declaration, he said amen, signifying that it is so. It is established. These words will not fail. He spoke the words into the air and he ended it by saying, amen. Pray for some people. They'll say, thank you, sir. Thank you. What does that have to do with? If they pray for you, say amen. Some people say, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Really? You see, something is wrong. I'm seeing that a lot, though. You see, it's like they are being prayer is not the response to prayer is not courtesy. It's amen. Our Lord said amen, and then he proceeded to say, I have the keys. Plural. The keys of hell. Some people are not dead, but they are in hell. He said, I have the keys of hell. And of death. See, let me tell you something. Satan doesn't control what goes on in hell. There's someone that has the key. Huh? When a person dies and goes to hell, it's because somebody left the gate open. Yes. Satan doesn't have control over everything. If Jesus wakes up today and decides that Satan will not enter that place, he won't enter, he will be floating. He said, I have the keys, which means no believer, no child of God dies without God's notice. No child of God, whether he dies at 20 or 40 or 100, no child of God will leave this earth without God saying, it is done. So why are you afraid? Why are you praying at night? Father, as we sleep tonight, nothing shall go to us. We don't want to die. We want to be praising you. Tomorrow when we wake up, we'll give you all the glory. We play the blood of Jesus. Play the blood of Jesus. Everybody say, blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. We'll not die. We'll not die. We'll not die. Your father said he has the keys of death. Unless he says yes, nothing can happen to you. This is the foundation of our petitioning this morning.
Because your father has the keys.
If John, who was living a righteous life, if John, who in his humanity already had power over death, if John, in his humanity, who could not be killed by mortal men, saw Jesus and he fell down as dead. Come on, are you here now? If John, who could not be killed by Roman soldiers, and they had said, this one will not die, send him away. That's the least, that was the worst they could do. Send him away, we don't want to see him again. Because everybody will now know that we tried to kill him. He didn't die. It will now become a source of evangelism. So send him away. That's why people don't want to talk about your testimonies. I was traveling yesterday and the man who sat behind me was reading throughout. A very elderly man. I couldn't. It was kind of very tight spot, you know. But I managed to see. He was reading a book on Ekanka. I just saw something Ekanka, very big book. And all through the journey, this man will probably be around in his 70s. Just flipping. Then he will tap his friend. So most likely they're in the same ministry. He was reading. People slept and he was just reading. I said, Christians. Christians. We must recover the message. And we must recover the cross. Let me tell you. This is the standard. John, who death had no power over, saw Jesus and he fell down as dead. And Jesus told him, even though you fell down as dead before me, I have the power over death. The reason why you didn't die when they tried to kill you is because I didn't permit it. I didn't permit it. Do you remember when Paul, when Peter was asking Jesus after his resurrection, what about John? Do you remember? Jesus was talking to Peter and was asking, do you love me? And Jesus gave him his mandate and said, feed my sheep. And Peter agreed. That means Peter was to be a pastor, to feed the flock of God. And that would be the measurement of his assignment. That's what they would be assessed on. And in fact, our Lord went ahead to tell him that in his later years, he will be persecuted. Alright? Okay, fine. What about him? So he wants to become a prophet to John. One of the wrongest things you can do is to be asking God about people. There's no point. You better settle down for yourself and know what you are doing. Except maybe you are just in a state like this and you are ministering to people. You have no business. See, what you owe your younger sister is the word of God. Don't try to be a prophet to her or to your brother. Because already they are tired of you. But Jesus answered, our Lord Jesus answered Peter and said, if I choose that John will not see death, what is that to you? John outlived all of them. He was the only one they tried to kill. They couldn't kill. He was the only one who died a normal death among all of them. Peter died, went to heaven to wait for John. From that small phrase or sentence, Jesus was already telling Peter how significant John will be in the last days. It was after the book of Revelation that John came back to the city and wrote the gospel according to John. The gospel according to John is the last book of the Bible. Older than 1 John, 2 John. So when you see the language, have you seen the way John speaks in his books? That which was from beginning, which we have seen, which we have heard, which we have handled, of the word of life. Can you see the language? Read the other gospels. You will not find. This guy was with Jesus like his experience changed the way he spoke. If you ask a Paul and a John to preach in the same meeting, John will do theological exegesis. He will show you this is the temple, this is the innermost court, outer court. He will tell you how a pastor should behave. And you give John. John doesn't have too many things to say. That which was from beginning. Everywhere just changes. Before I say anything, can you give me a song? Say, can you give me a song? is a peculiar person. Peculiar person. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. That Word was with God. And that Word was God. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. Ah! Sorry. You can literally feel the depth where that utterance is coming from. So John looked at all the Gospels that existed, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then wrote John to fill up the stories that were not in those ones. That's why you will see that many of the stories in the book of John are not in the other Gospels. Because he was a witness. He was there when Jesus did those things, and he knew they missed the stories. So he wrote his own. So there were many things that Jesus did, if they were to be written. I suppose that the books of this world will not be enough to contain the act that Jesus did. Imagine that the book of Revelation was not written. Just imagine. And you have an experience like this, you won't be able to share it because nobody will believe that your experience is authentic. So that when we begin to pray this morning, and the devil tries to put some kind of doubt or guilty conscience on why you think you are qualified, let them know that your master said, I am the first and the last. I hold in my hands. The permission you are looking for is with me. Everything that God did about creation, everything that God did about fixing people's destinies, He spoke it. He spoke it. I saw a video. I'm probably going to put it on my status this afternoon on TikTok. I saw it last night. One guy was... It's like a one-person drama. You know. That guy is an American, but he's blessed. The boy is blessed. I love him. He's blessed. Because what he did, I didn't even see it like that in my life. The guy was... One video, you see somebody is talking and it's also the one acting the other. So he was talking as though he was talking to God. And I said, God, science has evolved. We can now create man. We can create human beings. We can do so many things. Science, we don't need you again. You don't exist. You are not real. God now said, okay, why don't you try and create just one person? Let me see. He said, okay, deal. And the guy went, stepped back, and then he said, first, we are going to get soil. We are going to use this soil. God said, Get your own soil. Oh, I said, Jesus. I said, come on, preach. He said, not use my soil. No. The scientist was confused. Like, I didn't see that coming. Because when the guy said, gee, I see, they don't catch us. Even when the guy just started passing, God said, He said, what? He said, you have to get your own soil. They have not thought of that one. They have not thought of that. They have been spending hours in the lab. They forgot that everything they are using, somebody put it there. Your miracle is ready here. Hallelujah. Amen. I didn't see that coming. I bless that guy. Yeah. Oh, this is rare wisdom. See, you get your own soil. Get your water. So anywhere you want to go, you can go look for it, but you have to get it. You have to. If not, don't talk again. I'll put it on my status. It's a very beautiful video. And today the good news is that God is saying yes to you. I'm telling you. I stopped over to see my mom, and she was, wanted to talk. So she was talking to me about a particular business. And I said to her, I said, Grandma, you don't need business. So. I said, you need me. I said, how much do you want to make in there? And I said, okay, if I give you 250,000, what do you want to do? I said, you see what I'm saying? I said, everything you are thinking about, 250 cannot solve it. So what you need is a person. I said, you don't need 250. Meanwhile, she didn't know I was testing her. She now told me, say, hey, have I ever told you had a younger brother? You know, I always tell people, when you go to your parents, sit down. Don't be talking. What's happening in Lagos? Forget about that one. Listen to them.
you will hear things. I heard for the first time in my over 40 years of being alive
that I once had I was supposed to have a brother.
You know, I was confused sincerely. I never, like, we are supposed to be 6 children in this house, like 6. Like, I'm not actually supposed to be the last born. Like, how do you people do? You kill this guy or something? Like, so she started telling me the story how the child appeared to her and told her, "Oh, I'm sent on a mission to the earth, blah blah blah. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be great. I'll go to nations." And that my mom needed to agree with my dad so that he could come. And my mom said to him, "You need to talk to my husband." And my dad had the same dream, same night. My dad came back to, he challenged my mom. "Why would you be sending spirits to me?" After that dream, my mom took him. Then there was an attack. So my mom looked at me and said, "The summary of the matter is that you are carrying two destinies." That's what she said to me. She said, "The summary of this matter is that you have two burdens laid on your shoulder." You know, I was wearing my earpod because I didn't, you know, some of the stories, I've heard them before. And it can be tiring, you know, sometimes. But when she started saying, I just paused the, whatever I was listening to. I was listening to a worship song. I just paused it. When I got home, I told my wife, I said, I get brought up. I told you, Eastern and Revelation, they work together. There are certain things you will, if you want to reduce your prayer time, go and ask. But you know, when she said that, she now said, "That's why in this whole house you are different." That's what she said to me. "See, in this whole house, in this whole family, you are different." So that's why it seems like anything that is done against you doesn't work. Say you are fortified. I say, "Mama," I say, "let me send money to you again." I'm telling you, that's what I did. I'm telling you. You know, when you get that kind of press, you have to sow a seed. I'm telling you. Then she saw it. Started praying. Don't fight your mom again, though. Go and sit down. Let her tell you story. You will now know why some things are happening. I'm telling you. You will know. It was my mom that told me that our surname was not originally Shafe. Even my dad never said it. My dad just moved with the times. None of my dad's 11 brothers ever mentioned it. My mom was the only one who told me this is your original family name. And she because she spent time with my grandfather before he died. So he told her so many family secrets. So if your real family name is Olokun, do you know Olokun? Olokun, I think that's somewhere in Delta, right? Delta, Niger Delta area. It's a god, it's a deity. It's a Edo Delta. It's a deity. And you are not a professor, Professor Olokun. And you, Professor Olokun has asked you to marry him. He said, "You know what?" So now, you know, I was able to get some information. You know, put two and two together. So it now gives me some kind of perspective about certain things in the family. But do you know that for many years in my family, I want somebody to hear this one. For many years, as a child, I was, if you asked anybody, "Who is the black sheep in this family?" They won't pray. They just point to me. Like everything looked wrong about me. Everything. Does this make sense to some? I don't know how to describe it. But like, who is the problematic child in this house? They'll point to me. If you heard that somebody fought on the street, they'll say, "Is it Benga?" They will ask. I jumped the fence so many times in my life. Like, in my family, I learned how to jump. Like, this is the ghetto. I will not go through the gate. I didn't even, looking back, I don't even know why I did what I like. Why? They will just look around. "Where is Benga? You can't find him." Like,
praise God.
Like looking back, looking now, and when I come, they will beat me. They'll say, I was going to play ball. By the time I saw my dad's Peugeot car coming, I went from the back, bam. So they knew I was going to come, so they locked the back door. So I jumped into the compound, opened the door. They were in the parlor laughing. You will explain to us how you got to the backyard. Because now I jumped from the fence into the kitchen itself had its own, its own backyard that was sealed. So I jumped in. So now even if you're a black bed, and you flew, you will explain to us how you landed here and not at your destination. One day, when I became a Christian, I went to the Lord and I asked the Lord, what is wrong with me? I asked him. I said, keep close. What's wrong with me? So I'm not okay. The noise in this house is always around one person. And the Lord answered me. He said, it's a sign. He said, a time will come, I will be the reason why every good thing happens. He said, I should be patient. I was a teenager when I prayed this prayer. I was a teenager who was failing WAEC in flying colors. I was failing in flying colors. I'm telling you why. Sometimes when I say, Pastor, I want to hear God like you. That ability is rooted in pain. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Maybe some people do. There's so much pain in that story. By the time my father died, I knew if I will ever make it in this life, I must be close to the voice of God. I knew that I had no one again in this earth. I knew. Because when he was alive, I didn't pray. I didn't used to pray for money. I pray for anointing, Holy Spirit. But when he died, I knew there would be a problem. I knew. Started praying. Pray. So when the bridegroom is taken away, they will fast. I started fasting. So when I spoke to my mom, I started saying some things. I was able to piece some things together. Looking at, okay, so that conflict, the real me, I'm just a happy person. I like to have fun. But this contentious one that I could not account for, my mom now explained it last week. So that's how I've clocked 50. Only to realize that my original name was not Gbenga. What do you know about yourself? Are you sure Jeanette is your name? Are you sure? Are you really sure that Michael is your name? Are you sure that this problem you are going through is not caused by somebody you love and you tell your secret? When my mom told me, say your real name. Say I was named by a prophet. My parents did not choose my real names. And that was the custom in those days. Say they knew, they saw into the future. MJ, if you remember the day this church started, my mom came and she gave one testimony. If you, where is peace? Oh, okay. Let me just say, maybe you remember. It was not here at the very first. She just came, and I don't really like my mom sharing testimonies, but I like to. She can do it in our church. You understand? But that they said she wanted to. So I don't know if it was solidarity or testimony or whatever, but she just said she wanted to share a testimony. And this was the testimony. She said that which was revealed to her when I was in her womb, today she has seen it with her eyes. But I lived with her for years. We suffered. We did so many. My mom never opened her mouth and said anything. The day this church started, she came, she traveled down. And she stood on the altar and said, that which was revealed to her, that she's happy she has seen it today. I told you, go and make friends with your parents. They have secrets in their hands. This is why they are fighting you. Don't marry him. Don't marry. Something happened. But they don't have the energy to the bandwidth to start talking. They are fighting. Our goal is that by 2027. You will drive free transport in Lagos. Amen. Robinbo,
I don't know if you remember, we had a conversation sometime last year, and we talked about Sunak, Rishi Sunak. And I did like this. I said this one, we have removed him. The one that we put there, we now remove him. I was on the mountain where I was. Somebody from UK sent me, say, you have removed that. What you said, that, because the person was listening. The person was also, I said it in church, I just said quietly and I didn't really talk. The person said, the person was listening that day from the UK, now sent it to me. Say, Pastor, that's happened though. You have removed our, and me, I like the guy. I like him because he's spiritual, even if he's in the wrong way, but I like him. And he's very traditional, he has traditional views. So this one now, I perceive he will be a stammerer. Oh yeah, check now. I said this one will be a stammerer. That means the government may not really have head or tail. The more you look, the less you see. So, but it's that. What's my? I bet. May not give me visa. May not say because I prophesy and I don't go give me visa. I'm not the one talking. It's just stammer. Stammer. So it's a stammerer. It will be a stammerer. I never see anything. Any nation that rejects God will suffer. Let's pray for a few minutes. Please rise on your feet. I believe the Lord has something to say.
You are the Spirit of God. I see you touching my life. Holy Ghost, you are the Spirit of God. I see you touching my life. Holy
Jesus, I declare you are free. From today, every one of your vitals become normal. They become stable.
they become stable.
Amen.
This warfare around you, around your health, is over. Now, I don't do this every time. Jesus, you are the water of life. Let her know that today you have visited her. Please stand up. This is my bottle of water, but I feel like sharing this with you. Once you take this, it will become medicine. All your vitals will hit a reset button. Today, you will know what is called instant miracle. Please, in the name of Jesus Christ, drink that water and enter into a new day. Go ahead.
Holy God, you are the Spirit of God.
You are the Spirit of God. I feel your touch in my life.
Us to pray one prayer. We'll ask that the Lord will rend the heavens and send rain upon every family here. That the Lord will send His rain upon every family, the rain of blessings. Can you open your mouth and pray over your family? Pray over your family right now. Can I get one prayer warrior? Go ahead. Pray over yourself and your family. Go ahead and begin to pray. Go ahead and begin to pray. Zakatabala borobo shatala daba sotaya. Zakatala marobo bobo shadala daba sotaya. Zakataba le marase kataba hendalasa. Let there be rain. Let there be rain over every family. Let there be rain over every family. The rain of God's blessings. The rain of God's blessings. The rain of God's blessings. The rain of divine approval. The reign of divine approval over every family in the name of Jesus. The reign of heaven, the reign of God's blessings in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Privileged. You are not originally from that area, but you become very privileged. You can come in that morning and go straight to the governor's office. Spiritually, what it means is that wherever that key was allocated to, you can determine what goes in and what comes out. So I perceive that in our various industries, the Lord wants to give us the key. That means everything in that industry will belong to you.
So I want you to thank God now and receive it by faith. Receive the key of the city, the key of that industry. It's the key of influence and the key of affluence. I want you to receive it. I want you to receive it. I wish somebody would pray right now and receive this key. It's a key. It's a key. It's a key. It's a key. On this mountain of the Lord, there is nobody that is in this room that will live here the same. This year, we came to address difficult problems and to solve them. Glory be to God. Can you ask the Holy Spirit to touch your life one more time? Can you ask him to touch you one more time? Already started. Please, for those of you who have not joined the fasting, we still have 14 days, right? Join.
I see your touch. hold it.
But today, this month, huh? Any spirit that refuses to comply will be consumed. The scripture says, we shall judge the mountain of Esau. That's what the word of God says. Say, we will judge the mountain of Esau. The mountain of Esau, they have no birthright. But they want to create problems. So we must judge it. There are some people that, there are some spirits, if they don't see your resolve to attack, they won't leave you alone. This month, by force, we open the gates for you. For those of you that are in an industry that looks like you are in, it's a closed industry, there's no room for growth. Today, by the hand of God, we open the gate for you. This suffering is over. I said this pain is over. This idea of always taking your children to the hospital, six. Hey, this month we judge it. As you live here, you live here, your barns, your storehouses shall be filled with testimonies. Even though I struggled so much in my family growing up, today, I'm just a pastor, a small pastor. My family as a whole, they can't take any decision without me. But every one of them at some point in their life told me I was the problem in the family. I couldn't stay in the same room with my brother. The only person that seemed to understand me was my dad, for whatever reason, but he seemed to understand me. Today you are free. You will walk out. There are people here, their parents victimize. Oh God. Their parents victimize them. Hey, you must not wear ink. You must not do it. They victimize them and demonize them. Today, are you not wearing ink? Everybody is happy. We just majored on unnecessary things and made life difficult for our children. Today they say, why are you timid? Why? But you made me timid. How can your dad be telling you you cannot do well in life? You I don't want to tell you the things I've heard. Like why would somebody say that to his child? Today, you will wake up inside. You've been sleeping, but you will wake up inside. Do you know that when I finished preaching, I was in one of these states. I needed to travel to another state where I was preaching. Do you know that people followed me from that state to the other state? I've never seen it before. Like, so that I could see them. Because I'll be preaching in the other city. They got a vehicle. They followed me. Then in my new hotel now, I said, and somebody said there's no need for the anointing. When you see grown men, who are confused about their lives. When you see a woman who is the head of prayer ministry in a church, but is attacked. They want to take her children from her. They want her to leave her husband. And I told her, you have been binding principality and power. What you are doing is above your pay grade. She didn't know. The devils came after her, created rancor, prevented her from getting pregnant again. Came after her. And I'm looking at two innocent souls sitting in front of me, the wife crying like a baby. This is a pastor in a church. It's not like me saying, Pastor Adeshola, the head of prayer in this church. She's praying for everybody, but Satan is tearing her life apart. I said, whether the devil likes it or not, too, as you walk out this door today, you walk into a new season. I will not be merciful again. This time around, if you can see your that vision in your heart, it will come to pass. Now, by the grace of God, the last Sunday of this month, because, you know, when the Lord asked some of the elders to come with Moses, they stood before God and they ate in his presence. Do you know that story? They saw the glory of God and they ate in God's presence, and God did not harm them. You know, initially they said that Moses should be the one going to God, but there was another incident after then where some of the elders came with Moses and God's glory came down and they ate in God's presence. So that's my focus. This last Sunday of the month, we will eat. When the Israelites were going to leave, no, like literal food, though, not so. So it's going to be a love feast, yeah? So this last Sunday of the month. So I've announced it by faith. So if you want it to happen, you come and go and see pastoral care. If you know. Yeah, I've said, man, they ate in God's presence the day before the Israelites left Egypt. They ate. God told them to eat standing. Because after that day, they will not eat Egyptians again. So we are going to have a love feast on the fourth Sunday of this month. I think that should be the last Sunday, right? Fourth Sunday of this month. So, I don't. What? So, fourth Sunday. For those of you that like coming late, we may share the food before the praise worship starts, so that everybody will be okay. When you come, you see us belching. Yeah, we don't chop finish. We're just the extra half. We don't chop finish. If you come late, you don't chop finish. I think it will be a great time anyway. So you can come with snacks or drinks or whatever you have. We'll add it to what the church will provide, and everybody will be blessed. Amen and amen. But after this month, you will see your desires come to pass. Yeah.